the oil companies. So many of us call them evil. Is that true? Is that fair?
Well, you know, I think corporations in general have some problems in terms of legal structure and how they distort our political system and our society in various ways. I know many people in oil companies who are certainly honorable people trying to do the best they can. Certainly the oil industry has distorted the priorities of this country and many countries around the world over the years, our political priorities, our economic priorities. And the result of that is pretty catastrophic.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it, and all you have to do is just look around.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to paint us now a scenario that let's make the assumption that we've run out of oil. What are we doing now as a nation? I mean, are we scrambling? Have we collapsed? What's going on when this happens?
Well, let's not assume that we've run out of oil. Let's just assume that we're past the global oil production peak and the amount of oil available every year is declining.
Okay.
And declining, say, at a rate of about 3 to 5%
a year. Fair enough.
We would find ourselves in a situation sort of like the 1970s. Where you know, we had the oil embargo and oil prices were exploding through the ceiling. The difference would be that in the 70s we had a reprieve at the end. Oil prices went back down. In this case, that wouldn't happen. It would just keep going on and on. So in the 70s, what happened? Well, we had economic chaos. We had some of the worst economic times since the Great Depression.
People were fighting each other in oil lines.
Fighting each other, yes.
Gasoline lines.
Now, we responded by increasing the efficiency of our industrial processes, buying smaller cars and so on. We'll do that again. Well, people will start ditching their SUVs and buying small hybrids. But also the prices, of course the price of gasoline will go up, but prices of other products are going to go up too, because almost everything we use depends upon oil.
Plastic, everything.
To get to us, either to be manufactured or to get to us. I mean, the food in the grocery store, how did it get to the grocery store? It got there on a truck.
Mm-hmm.
How was it grown? It was grown with chemical fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides and with tractors. And
how's it stored? A plastic container.
Exactly. You know? So prices of everything in inflation or deflation in adjusted terms will soar. And that means our standard of living will decline.
Dramatically?
Over time, yes. And as a result of that, we'll find that people will find it harder to heat their homes in the winter and cool their homes in the summer. Food is going to get a lot more expensive, and probably people will not be talking about peak oil. They'll not look at all of this and say, oh my gosh, global oil production has peaked and look what happened. No, they'll be looking at the economic chaos around them, and there will be wars going on for the remaining oil in the world, and people's attention will be riveted on what's going on the other side of the planet with our troops or their troops or whatever.
How bad will the wars be? Could they be nuclear?
It's entirely possible.
I mean,
we are developing battlefield nuclear weapons at this point that seem to be intended to be used. They're not just for deterrence.
I don't look forward to that moment.
Yeah. I don't want to see any of this happen. When I describe this as being our future, it's not because I like this idea. It's sort of like, you know, you go to the doctor and you expect your doctor to tell you, you know, if you really do have a serious problem, you don't want the doctor just to say, oh, no, you're fine.
Right, right. Well, I want to save the alternatives next hour. We can talk about that to see if there's any hope here. But for now, you know, I really want to paint the real picture of what's out there. How did we get into this situation, Richard?
Well, it was so easy because oil gave us such tremendous benefits. I mean, the stuff, we've depended on energy forever, you know, and we've gotten most of our energy from wood, or in more recent times, during the Middle Ages, we learned how to get energy from water, with water wheels and windmills and so on.
Coal.
And coal. But oil is the most energy-dense and convenient energy source that we've ever found. It's easy to transport. You can make it into all kinds of products and so on. So, you know, we've just gone nuts with this stuff. And it was cheap. It was easy to get out of the ground. And so we've used it to increase our population. We transport resources from where they're abundant to where they're scarce. We've built cities in the middle of deserts just because it was so cheap to transport food and water and everything else we needed to the people there in places like, I hate to say it, Phoenix, Arizona, even Los Angeles. I mean, how many people could we have in places like that if we didn't have cheap transportation?
Oh, energy? Absolutely. Absolutely. About what year did this country start really relying on using oil? I mean, when did it start for us? Was it, we went from the kerosene age to,
right,
as you say, wood and coal and things. When did we start using oil?
Well, we started using oil in the 1860s, but mostly just for illumination, to replace whale oil. But then around 1900, we started using oil for automobiles, and then in the teens and 20s for aviation.
Okay.
And then in the 1930s, we started using it more and more for agricultural production.
And when did it start being used for, like, plastics and things like that?
Plastics, we're looking primarily at the years after World War II.
Okay.
And also for agricultural chemicals.
So in 50 years now, let's say after World War II, look at the explosion of things that we have created, produced with oil.
Right.
It is truly remarkable.
And that's created a tremendous dependency, so that our modern way of life is almost unimaginable without oil. It's crazy that we would have done this, but again, you know, it was so easy. It was so attractive. On the other hand, it's hard to imagine our having turned away from it and not taken it up. But it was a kind of devil's bargain.
What percent of oil is being used for products?
Well, it's actually not that large. Most of the oil, over 60%, we just put in our cars and burn. And then another 10% or so for the trucking industry, another 10% for aviation, and some for the military. And, you know, what we use for plastics is really a pretty small percentage. We're talking about 5% or something like that.
Okay, so theoretically then, and again, this will lead up to next hour, if we had an alternative fuel source, we'd still have enough oil for the plastics and things like that in products, right?
And I think we really should be saving oil for purposes like that, for pharmaceuticals, chemicals, things that we can only make from oil that we can't make any other way. I mean, just to take this precious stuff, of which there's only so much, and just to burn it once and for all. And we've burned half of it in this country just within one generation. You know, to burn it all for all time, so that our children and grandchildren won't have any of it. It seems insane.